The traditional understanding of communion requires us to look deeply within our hearts to those places where we are separated from God and others, to confess our sin before God. In that spirit, then, let us pray in confession, first in silence and then praying together. Let us pray. Almighty God, who sent the promised power of the Holy Spirit to fill disciples with willing faith, we confess that we resist the force of your Spirit among us, that we are slow to serve you and reluctant to spread the good news of your love. God, have mercy on us. Forgive our divisions, and by your Spirit, draw us together. Inflame us with the desire to do your will and be a faithful people. Fill us with your Spirit this day. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our new song of confession, I Lift My Eyes Up, which is an insert in your bulletin. Let us sing together. The Apostle Paul writes, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, Christ prays for us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we know such power. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. We are a praying congregation, and week by week we bring our prayers to God, trusting in our God to hear and answer. I'm wondering what prayers are on your heart today that you'd like to lift up, that we can pray for you or for someone in your life. I want to lift up just one that we've been praying for and thinking about for a while, the Wadia family, with their little baby Miriam, who came home from the hospital this week and who is at home here in Providence. And the family's doing great, just getting used to this new phase of life. So we're giving thanks to God for that great provision. Other prayers today. Danny.
I have a couple. One, Joy, my brother-in-law is here in town. McCall left town for the weekend, so prayers for her for travel. She'll be back this week, but I have him around to keep me company. So also prayers for McCall's travel. Last Saturday, we adopted a little puppy. 2 days later, he had to go into emergency care. He's been in there all week. It is wiping me out, so prayers for him to come home. It could be 2 days from now. It could be another week. I don't know. It's been a trying week, so prayers.
Praying for you with this puppy in emergency care, and also for Trey, another puppy visiting here. Welcome, Trey. What's that puppy's name? Batman. We lift our prayers, oh Lord. Other prayers. Gladys.
I also have a happy announcement. Baby Bernard, whom we've been praying for a long time, has finally come home also, and is still recovering, but he's home with his family. And we thank God for the many prayers. God has answered some of our prayers, and we still need more prayers for him. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Praying for baby Bernard, home from the hospital. Another prayer. Hi, Mary Ann.
For our friend's brother, Bob, who's very sick.
Prayers for Bob, who's very sick. Julie.
Prayers for Nancy Moreland, just for her general health. She couldn't be with us today. And also Melinda, who has a very severe cold. So both need prayers.
Prayers for Nancy and Melinda, both missing today. What's that? Jenny.
Another joy for this gorgeous day. But also just reading the New York Times today about unjust and inadequate care for people, disabled people in group homes. And just continued prayers for state and local governments to find ways to monitor and make sure that they get the care that they need to.
Praying for the least of these people in need of special care and for our state and government as they respond. Other prayers. Go back to April.
Joy this morning. After 6 weeks in the hospital, my grandmother Sheena is home and settling in and doing well.
Great news. Grandma Sheena home from the hospital. Amen. Other prayers. I missed. Sanford.
Friend Sister Vilma Silos from the Carmelite Order in Barrington is in cardiac intensive care unit, sending prayers for her recovery.
Prayers for Sister Vilma in need of recovery and healing. Prayers. I have a special prayer to share. My mom is visiting from California. She's back there with Abigail. Hi, Ma. Hi. And Cousin Kathy up from Boston. So welcome. Let me pass back to Lynn as well.
Another parental joy. My parents are here visiting from Pennsylvania with us this weekend, and they're also celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary in a few weeks. So.
Welcome. It's great to see you again, and congratulations. Awesome. Sally.
I have joy. Our Sunday school is booming, and we have had 3 new people step forward to teach just in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's such a blessing for us to have the responsibility to, you know, and our teachers are so faithful to what they do. I just want to thank them and let you know that Sunday school is booming.
Praise God for that. Go over to Lee.
I ask your prayers this next week as Sim joins the Navy next Sunday. So at this time, next Sunday, he might be in the air.
Sim, great to have you with us one more time, and we're praying for you as you go into the Navy. Okay. Pastor Chris, sickness prayer.
A sickness in the Foster household. Prayers for Andrew, who is never wants anyone to know he's sick, but he's homesick this morning, very sick, and prayers for him, particularly as I head out on Tuesday morning, I hope, to attend my aunt's memorial service next on Wednesday. So,
praying for the Foster household and Pastor Chris as she travels.
Okay. Let us pray. God of grace, of creation, you call us to you. You send us forth through the power of your Spirit as disciples of Jesus Christ, following where he alone would lead us. We give thanks for your presence for the whole world, for grace and truth, for love and justice, for signs of your kingdom come to earth. We pray this day for our world, for places in need of healing and peace, for wounds revealed that they may be transformed through your Spirit, through the work of your people and in godly ways, even beyond human effort. We pray for places of pain and poverty, for those struggling with homelessness, for those seeking day by day to reach for recovery. We pray, O Lord, that you would bring safe care for the disabled, the least of these, in group homes in these days, in these difficult economic times. We pray for Sim as he heads into the Navy. We give thanks, O God, for the joy and signs of blessings in our life and in our community, for the homecoming of Miriam to the Wadia family, for the miracle of healing through doctors' hands, for the new adventure of house groups learning together, launching soon, for McCall's brother visiting, for Sheena, for Jeannie and Kathy, for Lynn's parents, for the stepping forth of new teachers for our church school program and the blessing of new life and growth in our midst. We pray, O Lord, for those in need of healing and for all those battling illness or walking with those who do, for Walter, for Andrew, for my mother, for Batman, for Bob, for Nancy Ramsey, for Melinda, for Sister Vilma. We pray, O Lord, for those places of pain closest to us, for those things that we have noted here in community, but those things known only in our hearts. Help us, O Lord, always to hear your word and to do it, to be enlivened by this table we share together through Jesus Christ, and to be sent forth in the power of your Spirit through the one who taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Children are released at this time down to their Sunday school classes. Down through fifth grade can head downstairs at this time. Middle schoolers and high schoolers, you're staying with us today.
Our Old Testament reading for today is from Job 16. Verses 1 through 5. Then Job answered, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Have windy words no limit? Or what provokes you that you keep on talking? I also could talk as you do if you were in my place. I could join words together against you and shake my head at you. I could encourage you with my mouth, and the solace of my lips would assuage your pain. And a New Testament reading for today is from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, chapter 16, verses 4 through 7. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes to you, may remember what I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you who asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. There was a Sunday school teacher once who was helping her young students to memorize the Apostles' Creed. And so to help them remember, she gave each of them one line to memorize. And then week by week they worked on it until finally she lined them up so that they could say the entire creed one after the next. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Kwame began. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, Jenny continued, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, said Veen, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, said Gladys, he descended into hell, said Jim, the third day he rose again from the dead, said Brooke, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, said Jonik, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, said Michiko. And then there was a long silence. And finally, someone spoke up and said, I think the boy who believes in the Holy Ghost isn't here today. Well, I wonder if the boys and girls who believe in the Holy Ghost are here today in the church. Are you one of them? We are continuing this day our sermon series through the Apostles' Creed, and today's affirmation is this: I believe in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, of course, is just another name for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who we know as God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are a church that believes in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and yet somehow the Holy Spirit seems like we don't know much about it. It's the most neglected part of the Trinity. It's the part of God that we know least about. So today we are asking God to open Scripture to us and open our hearts as well, that we might learn something for our faith and for our life of faith together. As we begin today, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Think about this question, which someone asked this week. When you pray, who do you address your prayers to? When you pray, what name for God do you use? Maybe you pray as we do all together every week, Our Father who art in heaven. Many of us pray this way. We focus on the all-loving, all-powerful Creator God, the one that Jesus called Abba, Father, Daddy. Maybe you pray this way. Or perhaps you focus more on Jesus. Maybe your prayers end by saying something like, In Jesus' name we pray. Or perhaps you use very personal terms when talking to your personal Savior. Dear Jesus, give me strength. Dear Jesus, help me in my life. Dear Jesus, forgive me, bless me, guide me. But how often, I wonder, do you or I pray in the name of the Holy Spirit? Or how often do we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The short answer, I suspect, is not very often. After all, you might say, we're Presbyterians, not Pentecostals. And so while God the Father and Jesus the Son are very familiar and attractive to us, the Holy Spirit seems somehow different, difficult to understand, maybe a little bit dangerous. The Pentecost story describes the Holy Spirit as being a disruptive force. It looks like tongues of fire. It sounds like the rush of a mighty wind. The Spirit leads people to say things they've never said before and to hear things in a way they never heard before. That's why on Pentecost Sunday every year around the country, you will see so many good, upstanding churchgoers sort of uncomfortably waving in their pew, or self-consciously clapping along to a song, or maybe venturing to say amen at some point in the service. It's out of the usual. It's out of our comfort zone. And then just as quickly as it arrives, Pentecost, with its focus on the Holy Spirit, is gone, packed up and put aside for another year. The word for spirit you will remember in the Bible, in the Hebrew of the Bible, is ruach, and in the Greek of the New Testament is pneuma, as in pneumonia. And these are great biblical words because they both carry multiple meanings. There are multiple layers of meanings attached to these words. Both ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek can mean either breath or wind or spirit. The same word can have these three meanings because these three concepts are connected. The Spirit is like breath because it helps us to speak. The Spirit is like wind because you cannot see it. It's there, you feel it, but you can't quite pin it down. There are so many passages in Scripture that come to mind that describe God's Spirit or breath or wind. We think about that first chapter of Genesis there in the creation story, where it says that a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The Spirit is a creative spirit. We think of the prophet Isaiah who writes, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God's Spirit works for justice. We think of the Pentecost story with those tongues of fire and those different kinds of people and languages and cultures all together sharing in this gospel story. God's Spirit breaks down boundaries, borders, and barriers. But along with all of these great images in Scripture for the Holy Spirit, there's one that I want to focus on with you this morning, and it comes from the Gospel of John. We read a little bit about it today. Here Jesus is talking with his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed, just before he is arrested, convicted, and crucified. Bible scholars call this portion of scripture from John chapter 13 to 17 the farewell discourses. The farewell discourses, it's Jesus' last chance to talk to them, to teach them, and to tell them everything they need to know. What Jesus tells them in this passage is, I'm going away, but when I go, God will send to you the Holy Spirit. He calls the Spirit an advocate. God will send to you an advocate when I go, and one day I will come back. Over and over again in this passage from John, Jesus emphasizes this same theme. I'm going away. The Spirit will come. I will come again. And the Greek word that Jesus uses to describe the Spirit, to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, you may have heard it before. It's parakletos in Greek, or paraclete. Have you heard that before? The paraclete. When you type the word paraclete into your computer, Microsoft Word does not like it. It will give you a number of suggestions for what you're really trying to say. Perhaps parakeet. Or maybe parolee. No, we're talking about a paraclete. The word literally means one who is called alongside, or one who comes alongside us. And this is how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, not as fire or wind or a dove or as a parakeet, but as one who comes alongside us to help us, to comfort us, to counsel us, to point us in the right direction. This is the Holy Spirit. And there are three main functions of the paraclete, or the Holy Spirit, that God sends to be with the disciples, and by extension with us as Jesus' disciples today. Three functions of this ruach, or this pneuma, this paraclete. It has different kinds of meanings, and I want to just briefly sketch these three out for you this morning. The first is that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to care for us and comfort us. To care and comfort. When Jesus was with his disciples, he was the one who cared and comforted for them. But now Jesus is going away. And the disciples want to know who will care for and comfort us now. What a great question for the church. Preacher Fred Craddock says this, that now the Holy Spirit will do for the church what Jesus has done for the disciple, for the disciples. The Spirit does for the church what Jesus did for the disciples. Comforts us when we mourn, reassures us in hard times, gives us hope for the future. The Holy Spirit comes and, as the song says, fills our hearts with God's peace. It comes to us when we are in need. The Apostle Paul says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. One way that this has been described is that it's like a parent who has young children and is going out for the evening. Now, if you're a parent of young children, this might sound preposterous, that you would actually get to go out on an evening by yourself. But let's just make believe. It's as if you're a parent with young children, you're going to leave for the evening, but no good parent will leave their children home alone, without anyone to care for them. You can imagine Jesus walking to the door, turning the handle, and then all the disciples come running up. Wait, 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 Jesus. What about us? Who's taking care of us? Where are you going? And Jesus says to them, don't worry. I'm going away, but I'll come back. And in the meantime, I will leave with you a helper, a babysitter, the Holy Spirit. This is the one who will not just be any old babysitter, but who will help you with your problems, will care for your needs, will comfort you when you fall down and go boom. This is the work of the Spirit, our helper and comforter. Whenever we get too down in our lives, too down on ourselves, beating ourselves up over decisions we've made, mistakes that have happened, things that have gone wrong, the work of the Spirit is to come alongside and encourage us. Set us right. Help us to see the hope again that God has for us. Sometimes this happens through real flesh and blood people that we know. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is meant to be filled with paraclete people. That is, people like us who are so empowered by the Holy Spirit that we also reach out in love and care and concern to those in need. Are you a paraclete person to someone that you know? who is a paraclete person for you? But there's also a second meaning to this word paraclete. It's not just a comforting, helping friend who helps us, helps to encourage us, but it's also someone who is a challenging and convicting friend, the kind of person who gets in your face a little bit from time to time. Do you know the kind of person I'm talking about? Maybe you have someone like that in your life. Maybe you are married to someone like that. I don't know. Lisa, no comments. This is someone who we trust and love and who loves us as well and who's willing to sit us down and give us a straight talk, give us willing to speak the truth in love, as Scripture puts it. We experience this action of the Holy Spirit sometimes within our consciences. You know that feeling you get when something isn't quite right in your life? Maybe it's a wrong business practice. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's the way you've been treating people in your family, and you get a sense this isn't how it's supposed to be. That's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of the truth, who speaks to us in a blunt way, who shows us where we're in the wrong. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is different from the condemnation of the devil. The devil who seeks to condemn us, bring us shame and guilt, pile it high. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us, convicts us in showing us the truth, and then helps us to become more and more the person God is calling us to be. This is one of the most important functions of the Holy Spirit. It helps us to see the truth. It dispels falsehood and illusion, helps us to see what is real. In our lives, we need the Holy Spirit to do this for us. Sometimes we need this all together with our friends. You remember this story we read from Job? It was just a snippet. The story of Job is where he loses everything, all of his family, all of his property, all of the blessings and good things in his life, and he is so down. And along come his friends, these three so-called friends. And they sit down with him, and they're comforting for a while, but pretty soon they start in on Job. Job, didn't you really do something wrong? Job, just admit your fault. Job, we know you're guilty. It's showing up in all the things that are going wrong in your life. They're convicting, but not in a loving way. They're pushing his buttons. They're battering ramming against him. And Job can't take it. That's why he tells them, stop with these windy words. He calls them miserable counselors. The Holy Spirit is not a miserable counselor in the way of Job's friends who batters us in this way. Instead, the Holy Spirit, which convicts us of the truth, does it in a spirit of love. Any of us who feel called to be paraclete people for someone, to speak the truth, we must do so in love. As a church, this is the mark of our life together, that we speak the truth in love. Not in anger, not to get one over on someone else, not to make ourselves look better, smarter, brighter. We speak the truth in love. Finally, there's a third meaning to this word paraclete and how it works in our lives. Jesus says that the paraclete will come to remind them of everything that he has said. The Spirit will teach and remind them of everything Jesus has said. And there's a New Testament professor named Dale Bruner who gives a great example or illustration of what this is like. In his classroom, he has a blackboard, and he draws on it a stick figure, just a stick figure, and he says, that's Jesus. And then he walks behind the blackboard, reaches his arms around it, and says, this is what the Holy Spirit does. And he points to the stick figure on the blackboard. The Holy Spirit does not point to itself, it points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not point us off in the wrong direction, it reminds us that Jesus is at our center. This is Jesus. Listen to him. Learn from him. Follow him. Serve him. Worship him. Love him. Be devoted to him. The Spirit keeps pointing us back to Jesus. And what a reminder this is for us today. You know, as a church, sometimes we can get caught up a little bit in the beauty of our sanctuary, or in the warmth of our fellowship, in the excellence of our programs, which are excellent. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to come and remind us again that at the center of our life is Jesus. It's not me, and it's not you. Instead, we gather together at the foot of the cross. We come to the table as ones invited. We come to the font to be baptized, washed, renewed, and welcomed. This is a particularly important reminder for each of us, this work of the Holy Spirit here on a communion Sunday, a day when we will gather again at the table to break bread and share the cup. Because sometimes we can get really down on ourselves when things aren't going right. We can pick ourselves apart. I'm not worthy to come to this table. I'm too filled with sin. I'm too broken. I'm too far gone. But the Spirit encourages us and tells us that we are invited and we are forgiven, and we must come to this table responding to this good grace of God. If you are too far down today, may the Spirit of God pick you up and bring you to the table. But then on the other hand, we can also get too high sometimes, can't we? A little too full of ourselves and our success, or how charming we can be, or how wonderful. We're not in need of God's grace. We'll walk right up to the table. But the Spirit, in this case, convicts us of the truth. It brings us down to the place we are meant to be. Humble, thankful, ready once again to receive the good gifts of God. So as you prepare yourself for communion this day, and as you think about this affirmation that we believe in the Holy Spirit, may this be a sign and seal for your faith. The presence of the Holy Spirit encourages you, helps you, and comforts you. It convicts you of the truth, brings you back from flying too high, and it points you once again to the great center of our faith, which is Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please stand and let us confirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed as it is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Please be seated.
At this time, I'd like to invite one of our elders from the church, Jenny Surgner, forward. Through these 4 weeks here in the month of November, we are going to take just a moment in each of our worship services to hear from a different leader in our church, talking about the topic of stewardship, about why we give to support the ministry of the church, give of our time and our talent and our treasure. And so our first speaker today, we'll have one per week. You can look forward to it. The first one today is Jenny. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have to say that I thought this would be something that would be hard for me to do, and I think the hardest part is coming up here and actually doing it, the public speaking part of it. But even through the service today, I was listening to Dave, and I just kept coming up with more and more ideas of things to say. So with what I prepared and what the Holy Spirit has inspired in me, I just bear with me. The Holy Spirit is alive, and this is the public speaking part that gets me. I wanted to start off with just a little bit of background information of where I've come from in my faith journey. As many of you know, I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, and my dad's a Presbyterian minister. But for me, growing up, stewardship and tithing was really, I didn't really think about it much more than just, you know, your parents gave you the dollar and you put it in the box, you know, you put it in the collection plate. And even though after college, or through college and after college, I attended lots of different churches, and some of them for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and gave what I could whenever the collection plate came around, but didn't really think that much about it. It was more sort of out of habit for me. And it wasn't till I came to this place and started to think more about my relationship with God and thinking about becoming a member of the church and what that would mean, that I started to think more about stewardship and giving of my time and talents and treasures and what that means. It's been 4 years. I've been a member for 4 years, and some of you that's a short time, some of you that's a long time. But in those 4 years, my faith has grown tremendously because of praying and growing together in this place of faith, finding a church family where I am cared for, but also can walk and grow together with all of you and thinking about how the Lord calls us to serve. I've found lots of different venues for that, from my weekly tithing to visiting with a refugee family, from serving on session to teaching Sunday school. And in each of those experiences, not only have I given, but I have received back, and my faith has been deepened. One of the scriptures that I found when thinking about this was from Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25, which says, "Some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water." And this place for me has been a place where I have been able to give my gifts, but also be able to grow in them. I'll never forget the first day that I went with Dave on a visit to visit with a refugee family, and what an amazing experience that was for me and for how the Holy Spirit was calling me in my faith. Or from teaching Sunday school, I think I've learned more about sort of my biblical understanding and growth over the last 4 years than I did when I was a kid, just because teaching it has been a way for me to learn even more and to share with the kids that downstairs and help them grow in their faith. So let me just wrap up here with, there are a few things Dave said that the Spirit leads us to say things we haven't said before or hear things that we haven't heard before. And for me, that's been very much true. The last few years, I've been able to just been challenged in my faith, been renewed, refreshed, and really thought, really been challenged to think more deeply about how God calls me. And in my relationship with him and how to spread his love in the world. So over the next few weeks, as we as you listen to others share their stories, and as we come together in this stewardship season, and as we start to plan for the new year and the life of our church coming up, I ask that you pray with me in thinking about what are the gifts that you have, what are the gifts, how is God calling you and your life to share those gifts with PPC and with the world. That's the end, I think. Sorry, there wasn't a lot of good momentum there, but yeah.
Thanks, Jenny.
There's great momentum there. We remember that the Lord Jesus, when he was risen and he met with his friends on the way to Emmaus, he sat down with them, he took bread and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. In the same way, we recognize Jesus' presence at the table here today. This table, which is not a Presbyterian table, but which is open to all who put their trust in Jesus, who seek to follow God, who are led by the Holy Spirit. This table is open for you. You are welcome to it.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Holy Spirit upon these, your gifts of bread and the cup, that the juice we drink, the cup we share, the bread we break, may be to you a blessing of everlasting life. Call forth your Spirit, that we may be enlivened by it, as we seek to live in the ways that Jesus walked this earth, through the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Can you break the other one? I don't want to touch it. Thanks. Mark. Let's see. There we go. Thank you.
the body of Christ broken for you.
In the same way, also after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so, remembering me." The cup of salvation poured out for you and for me.
Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, you are the great comforter of our lives. You convict us of the truth. You draw us again and again away from a life focused on ourselves and our small concerns, and into a life of covenant relationship with you, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, three in one. We thank you, O Lord, that you have blessed us at this table, fed us by your hand, nourished us for the journey ahead. We pray that you would send us forth from this place, full of the knowledge of your great love for us, of the forgiveness which we have received, that we may live as your forgiven and beloved people in the world, sharing in this good news of your good grace with all that we meet. We pray for our church this day that you would bind us together with one heart and one mind, one purpose. Lord, may we be one to another, paraclete people, empowered by your Spirit, reaching out with care and love. All these things in the name of Jesus, we pray.